left the throne of heaven to come to Bethlehem, and I would not forget the way he loved me even then. And everywhere he traveled, he spoke with words of love that said he'd go to any distance to show what I was worthy of. And when at last the dusty road turned to Calvary, he picked up a rugged burden so that one day I could see he loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross. In answer to the call of love, he loved me with a cross. Though I could not imagine what loving me would cost, Jesus went to Calvary and he loved me with a cross. He knew from the beginning the price he'd have to pay, for my heart had gone so far beyond what other loves forgave. I wasn't on that hillside to see him on the tree, but as my guilt was placed upon him, I know that somehow he saw me. He loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross. In answer to the call of love, he loved me with a cross. Though I could not imagine what loving me would cost, Jesus went to Calvary and he loved me with the cross. And I would be a sinner still, enslaved by all my sin, if it had not been for Jesus and the way he loved me then. He loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross. In answer to the call of love, he loved me with a cross. Though I could not imagine what loving me would cost, Jesus went to Calvary and he loved me. a cross.
Thank you. All right. Did we get our handouts tonight? Did everybody get one? Okay. We won't have you stand because we're going through many verses. We're in the book of Proverbs again. Of course, the key verse of book of Proverbs is Proverbs 1:7. Hopefully, you're starting to get it memorized. We read it for you every week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then, of course, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal, primary thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. As we've been talking through the book of Proverbs, we talked about the importance of wisdom, and then really the foundational characters in the book of Proverbs are the wise man and the foolish man, okay? The foolish man will embody all of the negative aspects of Proverbs and will not seek to have any of the positive, whereas the wise man will seek to have all of the positive qualities of Proverbs and will seek to shy away from the negative aspects. So that's why we're spending a little bit more time on that. Last week, we started with the foolish man after spending several weeks on the wise man. Once we finish the foolish man, we'll look at certain subjects in the book of Proverbs. It's basically a book of subjects. I'll just read these for you. We said, first of all, last week, the foolish man's tendencies are born into us and must be driven out with discipline. You can read the verses there later. Verse number two, the foolish man can be very dangerous and vicious if he's confronted about his foolishness. We said number three, the foolish man, when seeking to change his ways, will inevitably go back to them. Okay, willpower versus God's power. The foolish man has no sense, number four, so it is a waste of time to try to make sense to them or him. Number five, the foolish man talks himself into a lot of trouble and pain. Now, let's look at number six. We'll go through a few of them tonight. Number six, the foolish man has nothing of any value or usefulness to share about the important issues of life. Look at the verse there in Proverbs. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In other words, he doesn't get it. Someone who's a fool, who just don't get what God is saying. They don't get the principles, the godliness, the things that God is teaching in his word. It's just over their head. I remember years ago, and I won't say what it was, but I was working at a loading dock, and some guy mentioned something that they were doing. It was profane, and I'm like, he said, oh, you know, you've done that before. I'm like, no, I haven't, ever. And he's like, really? I'm like, never. I don't think that's normal. Every guy that came into work, he'd say, hey, you know, Steve has never done this, like I was some kind of freak or weirdo. Look, that's how the world thinks. That's how the foolish man thinks. They think that people that are right and striving to do right, trying to live wise lives, they don't get it. And that's what it's saying here. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Now, in the Bible, when you see that phrase in the gate or at the gate of the city, that's where the business was transacted. That's where the leaders would be there. Archaeological finds have found gates of cities and places where the leaders would meet. So that's where the wise things, the wise counsel or decisions were made by the city leaders and so forth. And he's saying here, he opened it, when he's in a place where intelligence needs to come in, where wisdom needs to be in play, he's got nothing to say. Why? Because he's a fool. He has no wisdom at all. Many people talk really, they can talk for hours on end about foolish things. I mean, they know this and they know that and they know this. But when it comes to the things of the important things of life, they know nothing. The things that have to do with how we live our life and just getting through life, they know nothing. And they'll constantly be seeing as we get in the punishments that come to the fool. Amen. They know little of Scripture or the things of God. By the way, it's a shame if a Christian doesn't know much about the Word of God. We have a lot in Christianity in general of just biblical ignorance. what is it? In the Old Testament book, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know anything. See, we want to go to a church where someone scratches our back and pats us on the back, and we don't learn anything about the Bible. Or all we hear is the little thing, you know, the cute little things. No, we need to know Scripture. Amen. The weightiest things in life are usually over a fool's head. You see it. If you've seen it like I know, I've seen it in my past where you work somewhere and somebody at work is going through a difficult time or a tragedy is in their life, and I've seen it in funerals here. We'll have funerals and family members will come. It's almost like they don't know how to react. They don't know what to say. You know why? Because that's the serious stuff of life. That's the time of life when you need wisdom. Now, they'll tell you the batting average of their favorite player. They'll tell you how many points... I don't care how big a sports fan are. You probably can't name the starting lineup for the Lakers. I think it changes every game, okay? But if that's, and it's, if you want to know your favorite players, that's fine. But when it comes to the things of life or something the Bible mentions, it's like, listen, when you're having marital trouble, how many points Kobe scored last game doesn't help. Your wife gives you that look. And you say, you know, Kobe scored 32 points last night. Can I just tell you something? She don't care, okay? So what do you do in that case? Take her shopping. Say, is it me or are you looking good tonight? All right, moving on quickly. Not only does a fool have nothing to add, which is really what the verse is saying, the verse is basically saying two things. A fool doesn't get wisdom. It's over his head. And they have nothing to add in the serious issues of life. It's a sad, but most of the idols, and we'll mention it in another one of the principles here, that people look up to today, they look up to them for the wrong reasons. And by the way, I don't need somebody just because he can score 20 points a game telling me how to live my life. Are you with me? Okay, be quiet and play basketball. Don't make a social issue when you have the IQ of a plant. When you can't even, when you're interviewed, you can't even string a sentence together. Okay, and you're going to sit there and tell me how to live? Really? I don't think so. You're not doing a very good job of it. And so that was free. Athletes, musicians, actors, you name it, all of them. We give them a place of authority in our life they should not have. Now, if I want to be a better basketball player, maybe I won't watch the NBA. That's for dead sure. But I'll watch a player that's a better player and try to learn. Listen, if it's about how to live life, ignore them. Okay? Let's get to the Bible. That's where wisdom is. And don't be like that. Now, we're saved, so you're not fools or you wouldn't be here tonight. But sometimes we're fools by our willful ignorance. In other words, we're not striving to become wise, and we spent 3 or 4 lessons on that. Fools also complain about everything, but they never can give you a solution. You ever notice that? By the way, doesn't take a brain surgeon to point out problems. You know what I have found? And don't take this the wrong way, because you probably have something to tell. Those who complain in the church the most give the least and do the least. Have you ever noticed that? Probably not. Let me share that with you. Now, again, so if you notice something, you bring it to our attention, I'm not talking about you. You know what I'm talking about. There's people that they're here just to complain. They will find something to gripe about in everything. And if I were to check their giving record, they wouldn't give anything. If I were to check their faithfulness to church, they're probably not real faithful. They're just complainers. Okay? Now, again, if there's a legitimate situation, bring it up. The difference is a fool will complain about something. A wise person will have a solution, okay? And I know things come. Our staff, here's the rule, you know, because we see things that sometimes need fixed. So the thing is, when you come and bring a problem to our attention, bring a couple possible solutions, right? That's good. Now, that pastor had that rule. And I come, and I knew, hey, pastor, I noticed something. And it's like, you know, he's looking at you like, I think here's what we should do. Now, I remember one time I came to him, and I couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, here's the problem, and I know I'm supposed to have a solution, but I ain't got one. You got one? Okay? I don't think you had one either. We just let it go. No, but listen, fools complain because they can't fit. All they can do is gripe, but they can't see a solution. Why? Wisdom's too high for them. And so that's how a fool is. Number seven. And we've looked at this from the opposite angle when we talked about the wise man. Now we're going to look at it from the negative angle, because if you're talking about the foolish man, you're talking about the negative. The foolish man is a curse and source of problems to those who associate with him. And there's the verse. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and we talked about that. One way we get wisdom is by being around those who are wise. We can learn from them. But look what he says. But a companion of fools will be foolish. What does it say? Shall be destroyed. That's worse. There's judgment and problems that'll come to us by simply being a companion of somebody who's a fool. Now again, when we think of fool, don't think of somebody with an IQ of 3 and they can't, you know, somebody who doesn't love God. Somebody whose whole life is just anti what God says. They don't care about God. They have no relationship with God. And they may do what they think is best, but because they don't know God and they don't know his word, they don't have true wisdom. And when we're around them, because by nature we are very influential. Human beings, we are very easy to influence, and we can very easily influence others. And so we need to be careful about that. This is beyond a casual acquaintance. Many of you work in the workplace, and listen, everybody at your workplace isn't a hardcore Christian. And I get that. We have acquaintances. This is talking about a companion. When it talks about walking with them, and he that walketh with wise men, that's spending our life with them. Look at the verse in Proverbs. In Psalms. It's in your paper there. Blessed is the man. Now, this is the positive aspect of a negative trait. Blessed is the man that walketh not, isn't hanging around with, isn't living their life with, or living their life with those who are ungodly in their counsel, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sinneth in the seat of the scornful. So, on one side, if we're a companion of a fool, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. But if we avoid them, that close relationship, God says we're blessed. Because we'll avoid a lot of those negative things which their life is characterized by. What is a companion? One who keeps company with another. One with whom a person frequently associates closely and converses with. What happens when we become a companion of a fool? We'll be influenced by their company. By the way, we'll be corrupted by being in their presence. Was it Isaac Watts that wrote Amazing Grace? You know Brother Panetta? Before he got saved, he was a very foul man. Worked in the slave trade. He was such an evil man, the unsaved men that worked on his slave ship called him the Great Blasphemer. How'd you like that name? He, by his own testimony, after he got saved, said, my goal was this. If someone was in my presence for more than 20 minutes, that I could corrupt them. That was his stated goal. This guy was a pagan. Now, we may not hang around people that's their stated goal to corrupt us, but if we're spending time with those who don't really have a love for God, and we're closely identifying with them, and we're allowing them to influence us, which way are they going to push us, you tell me? They're going to push us away from God. We got to be very, very careful. Now, the influences we have, see, we live in such a time now that it doesn't have to be one-on-one relationships. It doesn't have to be friendships. You know, if Larry was godless and he's not, you know, it doesn't have to be me hanging around with Larry. See, now we can do it through other medium. It could be the people you allow to influence you by what you watch. Oh, you know, it's just entertainment. Maybe it's just entertainment, but most entertainment is foul. And most of the time, they're trying to teach a message. You're going to sit there and watch something, and you're going to be rooting for this lady to go off with another man when she's married to this guy. Because that's how they're going to set up the story, right? And you're going to find yourself Wait a minute. They're throwing you. What are they trying to teach us? It's in the music we hear. Yeah. No, I just like the beat. Words come with it. There's just no way around it. And we're influenced by those words. It's funny how come there's certain things you cannot say publicly, but if you say it and it's wrapped in music, it's okay. If I got up here and I advocated raping women, you'd be mad. And rightfully so. But I could get up and sing about it and it's okay. Because now it's entertainment. It's wrapped in music. How does that make it right? It's still wrong. It's still junk. And by the way, you can excuse it like, oh, you know, it's garbage. It gets right here. The guys you listen to on talk radio. You're in your car and they're talking about, I don't listen to a lot of it, but I'll come in the morning, I'll listen to a couple of guys, the sports station coming in, catch up. Sometimes he wants to start talking about life. I just click him off. Like, you ain't telling me about life. Tell me how the teams did last night. Okay? But I don't want to sit here and you teach me about life because you're not godly. So we need to be careful about that. The blogs you read. Here's one you won't like, but the friends on your social media. Okay? Really? Don't allow them to influence you. I heard some ridiculous stats. 75-80% of all divorce proceedings that are hot and heavy, they use information they get off of Facebook. It's innocent, you know? It's just an old friend from high school. Be very careful. Remember, Satan influenced Eve. And then Adam was influenced by Eve. Amnon, who raped his half-sister, was influenced by a friend to rape his half-sister. And then on the positive note, David took down Goliath. Do you know one of David's nephews fought one of Goliath's brothers? You read it later on in the history books, and he took him down. Where did he get that influence? Uncle David. He said, Uncle David took that pagan down. It's my shot. Okay? So influence. Let's be very, very careful about who we allow to influence us. Number 8. The foolish man thinks that sin is something to joke about. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. See, because they defy God, because they are void of wisdom, because they could care less about what God says, we're weird, and sin's just something to joke around about. When we think about sin, when we are tempted to think that it's a small matter, think about this. That's why Jesus died. Sin. It's no laughing matter. Mocking sin does something to us. Whenever we see something, whenever we are mocking sin, it desensitizes us. You know, we see stuff that puts sin in a different light. And it just desensitizes us that it's not that bad. By the way, be careful. I don't like, if you want one, you'll have to go somewhere else. I don't like cool pastors. And that's just a blight. I've read enough stuff. I mentioned probably a year ago, a pastor, allegedly, emailed us about one of our neighbors that was upset about parking, and I appreciate him letting us know about that. I don't know how he knew. And so on the bottom of their email was their website, so I go to his website, and you know, I think they had two pastors, and he was like Mr. Cool Cat Pastor. His favorite hobbies are to have people over from the church for barbecue and drink a few beers together. He had a blog. It's like, you know, when I see stuff like that, I probably shouldn't, Brother Pineda, but you push me that way. I want to see what his blog says. He's cussing. He used a cuss word to describe Christians that aren't like him. That's where we're at. Whenever we allow a mockery of sin in our presence, we're desensitized to sin. And now we're influenced by it. And because we're under grace, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Amen. We just need to be very careful about it. There's nothing holy about it. You see something, you're not careful, and you laugh when you ought to be upset. Yep. It makes something that is wrong seem okay. It changes our perception of the character of God. And again, we do this through all the media. They make fun of Christians and Christianity. And by the way, what a shame that Christians go watch that stuff. They make, if you, I don't watch, but if you watch any of that garbage, I guarantee you the guy who's supposed to be a Christian or religious, he's a nutcase. That's on purpose, by the way. They're trying to make everybody seem like an idiot. Immorality is a joke. It's something you joke about. Artists can make paintings and sculptures that are immoral in nature, but it's okay because it's art. Immorality become okay because it's masked by art? By the way, they mock marriage, family, and particularly fathers. You know, back in the 50s, they had a show like Father Knows Best. Okay, I don't remember. I didn't watch it. I probably saw it a few times in my life. You know, Leave It to Beaver. Dad was firmly there and solid guy. How are those shows now? Dad's a bumbling idiot. Mom's on top of everything, and the teenagers run the show. That's mockery. Okay? That's not how a family is supposed to be. They mock Christianity. Years ago, I didn't even get it because I didn't grow up in a Christian house. I went to a movie with my buddies when I was in high school, and it was Monty Python. If you know Monty Python, they are not Christian by any stretch of the imagination. It was a movie called The Life of Brian. And I went to it because those guys were funny. And by the way, I was ignorant. I know nothing about the Bible. It wasn't until about halfway through the movie that I realized it was a mockery of, I guess, a movie, The Life of Christ. I figured that out when they were going to crucify the guy. And it started to bother me, even as I wasn't a Christian, like, this isn't right. They're mocking Christianity. By the way, do you know they're doing that today? Remember years ago they had the movie, I think it was in the late 80s, it was The Temptation of Christ. And he had a relationship with Mary Magdalene. What? Oh, they're just talking about the, no they're not. By the way, it's strange now that Hollywood wants to put out movies about Bible stories. Well, thank you, Leon. They're not even close. Noah's Ark. What's the new one? Exodus? Exodus is Albert's sister, Albert's daughter. She's in our college. She's a good kid. It's not that dumb movie. You say, you know why they do that? And I'll tell you, and you know what? And Christians go and watch that stuff. Well, you know, I know it's not completely right, but then I can dialogue. I can dialogue with my unsaved friends. You want to dialogue with them, man, have a Bible study. Bring them to church. Take them to your house. Feed them a meal. They'll listen to anything if you feed them. But taking them to watch garbage is not going to, that portrays itself as a biblical movie. They're mocking everything that is right. Why? It's foolishness. It's foolishness. That's why we need to make sure that we're very careful. Really, we're done because the kids sang a lot tonight and it was great. But it's just, we don't understand what's right and wrong. I can understand someone who's a fool. By the way, that's why we mentioned when we started this thing, that the foolish. I don't think anybody that's here tonight is a fool. But I think that people who aren't fools can sometimes act foolish, right? And do foolish things. And so let's be very careful in this area of sin. Whether we're watching someone else mock it, whether we're around those that would cause us to be influenced negatively. We don't want to be fools. We want to be right. By the way, say, how do I understand all this stuff? It's real simple. Here it is. Know what God's word says. Yep. Amen. You see, the second someone says something that's against the word, you could say, it's not true. Not true. You ever argue with someone? I talked with a guy one time. I was at work. They were talking about abortion. And he's like, yeah, but what about these babies that are born and they have sicknesses? Shouldn't they have been aborted? And I got tired of arguing with him. I said, you're right. I said, you know what else we ought to do? We ought to go find all of them that are sick right now and put them to death. Oh, I didn't say that. Well, what are you saying? Isn't that what you just said? Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, that way. Well, think before you speak. But anyhow, know the word of God. Just get in the word and we'll be wise and we'll avoid.